Today's scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator.
Good morning. Before we go into today's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we now ask for your blessing on the study of your sacred word. We pray, Father, that we would show the appropriate reverence for your word, not for the sake of man, but for your sake, because this here is your will revealed to us. And so, Lord, I pray with reverence and awe, we may worship you by listening to that which is according to your word. We do not desire the wisdom of man, because that is all folly. And though the world is impressed by worldly wisdom, in the end it comes to nothing at all. What we desire, Lord, is the wisdom of your word, which endures forever, which is unto salvation and sanctification and for your glory and for the spiritual upbuilding of those who are truly your people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we give you thanks for this precious time of worship. And we pray, Lord, that we may now receive the correction, reproof, and encouragement of your will revealed to us in Holy Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in Colossians, picking up where we left off last week in the third chapter of this epistle, moving on to the second half of verse 8 to verse 10. So for those of us who may be visiting, we are going through the entire book of Colossians, verse by verse. That's the way we usually approach preaching in this church. We don't like to jump around and skip around in the Bible and just pick whatever passages I feel like preaching on. We go through entire books of the Bible, verse by verse. That way we receive the whole counsel of God's will. Just wanted to put that out there so we all are clear on what's going on. So if you recall from our previous message, we've been considering verse 8 of our text, which is a list of things that defy the authority of Christ Jesus, our King. If we genuinely trust in Christ today, we've been reminded in this chapter of Colossians, chapter 3, that as surely as Christ was raised at salvation, we too have been raised a new person. Are we a new person? That's how we know we've truly been saved. We're no longer the person we once were, in stone-hearted unbelief and rebellion towards God and his anointed King. Our hearts have been made new by the Holy Spirit, so that we embrace Christ as Lord. Having trusted in Christ for who he is, the promise of the gospel is that our sins have been forgiven us and we've been delivered from the domain of the devil and transferred to his heavenly kingdom. So having been raised a new creation with hearts of faith and love towards King Jesus, and as citizens of his heavenly kingdom, we have been commanded by our King to put to death in us the ways of a world that continues in hardened rebellion against him. Colossians 3, 5 to 8. So we've been looking at this passage over the past several weeks, verse by verse. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. As our King, Christ commands us to abstain from sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And over the past few weeks, we've gone over each one of those items in verse 5. Furthermore, Christ our King requires us to put away the items listed in verse 8. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. And in verse 9 of our passage for today, he also forbids us to lie to each other. And as we've already gone over the first three items of this list in verse 8 last Sunday, today we will consider these last three prohibitions of our Lord. What are they? Verse 8, slander, obscene talk, and lying to each other. So this is the command of King Jesus to all who are truly his subjects through faith. So let's now turn to the first three of these remaining prohibitions of our King. And that would be slander. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice. We went over those last week. Today we're starting with slander. Slander. As a youth pastor many years ago, I took my youth group to a conference held in Washington, D.C. During that trip, I had gotten into a heated dispute over the phone with my senior pastor regarding the behavior of one of his children. I wanted his daughter to straighten out her act and respect my leadership as the youth pastor. He wanted me to cede my authority to his daughter and do as she said. She's 12 years old. I told him, tough. As long as I was a youth pastor, I expected all the students to show me basic respect as their leader. Well, soon after returning home from that exhausting trip, I received a phone call from a kwansanima, elder's wife at the church. She asked me a question I didn't expect. She asked me if I'd used church funds during the trip to purchase gifts for my friends. Stunned by the question, I told her, absolutely not. The only gifts that I had purchased were small souvenirs for my youth group out of my own pocket. Oh, this nice lady, and she really was a nice lady, went on to inform me that the senior pastor had told the leaders of the church that I had used a church debit card during that trip in order to purchase gifts for my friends. In legal terms, what's that called? I think that's called embezzlement. That piece of slander would wreak havoc on the church community the next several weeks. Horrible fighting, conflicts, arguing. And of course, would result in my resignation. How could I stay in an environment like that with such broken trust. What is slander? That slander. As believers, we're entitled to our own opinions, positive or negative, for as long as those opinions are guided by the principles of God's word. But what we're not entitled to is presenting as factual a statement that is either false or the veracity of which is uncertain for the purpose of damaging someone's reputation. That is slander. As you can imagine, and as my own experience confirms, slandering someone out in the open risks sparking a firestorm of controversy and even a lawsuit has a way of coming back and biting the person who started it. And because that's the case, the kind of slander that more commonly poisons churches is secret slander behind the person's back. Well, all forms of slander, open or secret, are acts of defiance against our King, who forbids, as we can see in our text, his people from engaging in it. And so we read in Leviticus 19:16, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." Or the NIV, we read there in Leviticus 19:16, "Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life." See, slander is the kind of evil that harms livelihoods and even endangers life. How many people around the world, I wonder, are sitting in a prison cell today because of slander? How many more people have lost jobs, have had their careers irreparably damaged, have been driven from their pulpits as pastors, have suffered extreme stress, harmful or even deadly to their health because of slander? In the United States, slander is a violation of tort law and is a valid basis for a lawsuit. So even the world recognizes the morally depraved nature of slander. How much more should citizens of Christ's kingdom? If we belong to Christ's kingdom, resolve to never slander another person, whether brother, neighbor, or enemy. To do so is an act of defiance against our King, Jesus Christ, to whom we owe our obedience and submission. If we are believers and are guilty of committing slander, we had better confess it to the Lord immediately and repent of what we've done. Slander is an egregious sin. It's like a hand grenade thrown into a crowd, explodes, wreaks so much destruction in the lives of people. Believers have no business whatsoever touching something so vile and detestable as slander. So again, if we are guilty of doing something like that, you better confess it to the Lord. You better repent of what we've done. Better believe it that King Jesus is grieved and deeply displeased when we do things like that. And by the power of His Holy Spirit dwelling in us, as our text teaches us in verse 8, put it away. Put away this abominable deed and never mess around with it again. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander. That is the command of our Lord. So now we understand the biblical position on slander. Let's move on to the next item on the list of verse 8, which is obscene talk. On August 3rd, 1776, during the Revolutionary War, General George Washington issued the following order to his troops. The general is sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing, a vice hitherto little known in our American army, is growing into fashion. He hopes that the officers will, by example as well as influence, endeavor to check it, and that both they and the men will reflect that we can little hope of the blessing of heaven on our army if we insult it by our impiety and folly. Added to this, it is a vice so mean and low, without any temptation, that every man of sense and character detests and despises it. As commander-in-chief of the American Continental Army, George Washington was grieved to hear that profane cursing and swearing was becoming a fashion among his soldiers. Washington understood that foul speech was an offense in the sight of God and expressed his hope that his officers would curb this vice by example and influence. How much more must soldiers of Christ's army desist from all foul, obscene language? Well, there seems almost no limit to the kind of abusive, foul insults the unbelieving world is willing to heap on each other and on us. We, as good soldiers of Christ Jesus, must never resort to their methods in our conflicts. No matter how ferocious the wolves we face, we must never rely on their kind of brutal, degrading language as weapons of our warfare. We cannot win Christ's battles with the weapons of the devil's arsenal. The weapon of our warfare is, as we read in Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. By the open statement of the truth of God's Word, we wage war against the lies and deceptions of the evil one. The worst of people are still created in God's image. And so Scripture teaches us to never curse people. As much as sin has distorted the image of God in people, there is still some likeness of God remaining in them. Though radically defaced by sin, all people possess immortal souls. And their moral, intellectual, and relational capacities distinguishes them from all other creatures. And so in these ways, all people are created in God's image. Cursing people is to curse a reflection, as dim as it may be, of God himself. And so we read in the Word of God, James 3, 7-10, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Are we guilty of that? From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. If we belong to Christ's kingdom, resolve to never degrade any person with obscene, profane insults, no matter who they may be, no matter what we may feel about them, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are fighting a different kind of war than the kind of wars that the people of the world engage in. As General Washington wrote to his men, we can little hope of the blessing of heaven on our army if we insult it by our impiety and folly. Do we want the blessing of heaven upon our battles and struggles for the Lord? Well, I think we have little hope of that if we insult the Lord by our impiety and folly, with our cursing and obscene talk. That's what we're doing when we curse people who are created in the image of God. We're cursing God's reflection. And if we're doing that, we're insulting the Lord himself, who created them in his own image. It's not General Washington who commands us to put away obscene talk from out of our mouths. It is the Lord Jesus who commands it of us. Disobedience in this regard is defiance towards the highest authority of all the universe. So by the power of his Spirit dwelling in us, be done with it. Put it away for good. But that's what we're being taught in verse 8. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. The third item which Christ forbids of his subjects is introduced in verse 9 of today's text. What is it? Verse 9. Do not lie to one another. Lying is a general term that encompasses a variety of common sins, verbal sins, phony excuses, false promises, inflating our merits, shifting blame, and two-facedness are all types of lying people resort to to avoid uncomfortable situations, evade accountability, and get away with wrongdoing. But as we can see in our text, Christ requires sincerity and honesty of his people. There must be no hint of the scheming, manipulative, insincere ways of the world among the people of his kingdom. The kind of crookedness of speech so pervasive among the unbelieving must be entirely, wholly absent among believers. Proverbs 6:12, a worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. That's the characteristic of wicked people. Crooked speech. We must put away crooked speech. False promises, empty claims, misrepresenting our intentions, saying one thing to people's faces and another thing behind their backs. All the various forms of lying that unbelievers cherish as clever and pragmatic and necessary for their self-interest. We must put them all away. This is the word of God. It's not the wisdom of man. Speaking the truth to one another means to be done with all that crooked speech and to become, well, what's the opposite of crooked? Straightforward and transparent in the way we communicate with each other. Believers must cease to dabble with crooked, lying speech and become straight shooters in the way they talk. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another. Believers are commanded by Christ to abstain from lying and all the other forms of evil listed in verse 8 of this chapter in Colossians and verse 5. And why is that? Well, here's why, as we read on in verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. At salvation, as we read there in verse 9, our old self was put off. Like dirty clothes. It's put off. That person we once were, that was unyielding, unrepentant, and unbelieving towards God and Christ, died. That person we once were, as we learned in chapter 2 of this epistle, earlier in this series, died just as surely as Christ died. Just as surely as Christ was raised physically, we were raised a new person spiritually with transformed hearts, willing to trust our Lord and inclined to love Him. Does that describe us? If it does, then we know we're saved. And as a result, we could no longer live as we once did, in incorrigible, unrepentant defiance against Christ. We could no longer make a flagrant practice of the vile and evil things listed in verse 5 of this chapter and continuing on into verse 8 to 9 of today's passage. At salvation, we were radically transformed by the Holy Spirit. And as He has come to dwell in us, we are further transformed by Him throughout our lives. It's called sanctification. And He does this through what? Through the knowledge of His Word. We are sanctified as we learn and understand more and more the content of God's Word to us. And so we read in verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So if we are saved and have been raised a new creation in Christ, we have put off the unrepentant, incorrigible, flagrant practice of the things listed in verse 8 and verse 5. Unrighteous anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, crooked, lying speech. And why is that? Because of the work of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts. That's why. But now, we are commanded by Christ the King to put all these things away, period. To not only cease practicing them as a matter of deliberate, intentional habit, but also to cease doing them at all, as far as we're able. We have no business touching these things. We know that because these things go against our deepest desire to please Christ, to do them makes us miserable. Why continue to make ourselves so miserable by messing around with these things? Sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, unrighteous anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth, lying to each other. If we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which is true of all genuine believers, we know that these things make us so miserable. So why? Why dabble with them? In fact, the command of Christ our King is to abstain from these things. That's the language that he uses. Put them all away. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Should we falter into these things? Deal with them ruthlessly and decisively. Confess them to the Lord immediately. As we read in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Confession is also command of our Lord. Don't hesitate. Confess them to the Lord immediately and turn away from them with all your heart. Christ Jesus, our King, requires it of us. We can desist from these things because the Spirit of God dwells in us and gives us power to do so. So by the Spirit, do just that. Put away slander, obscene talk, and lying to one another. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word, we pray that those in whom your Spirit dwells, those who receive illumination of the Spirit for the acceptance and understanding of your revelation of Scripture, we pray we would take heed and listen. As for the world, we read in your word, they do not accept and understand the things of the Spirit of God. And so we know, Lord, that if there be any person who hears your word and despises it and rejects it and mocks it and laughs at it and ridicules it, they are surely a natural person. A person of the world, a person in whom the Spirit of God does not dwell, a person who is stranger to the covenant of grace, and a stranger to your salvation. And so, Lord God, we pray that we would also examine ourselves, examine our own attitude, and consider if we are in the faith, so that if we receive your word and believe it, not for the sake of man, but because it is Christ Jesus' word, then we pray that we will give thanks, because this is one of the clearest signs that we are saved. But if we reject your word, then, Lord, I pray that the fear of God, that we will be struck with the fear of God, that we will realize the true condition of our souls. For not everyone who was raised in a church is a Christian. Not everyone who's been going to church all their lives is a believer. There are many people who just attend church and have no saving faith in Christ Jesus at all, and who are just as dead in their sins and transgressions as any flagrant, open unbeliever. So we pray, Lord, let us also examine our own hearts and see how we respond to the things that are instructed, not by the wisdom of man, but according to your holy word. And we pray this now for the sake of the souls of all who are sitting here, and for your great glory and namesake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.